The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Hump Da Mump. 24 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and as promised, we have an expert dog trainer in the studio because, well, I'm sure that you, if you're a dog lover, understand how important it is that you train your animal, your best friend, so that it's, well, couple of things. It's important to train your dog so that it doesn't get into trouble, so that it doesn't get into harm's way, and also it's the socially responsible thing to do, so that it doesn't cause chaos in your community. We've all heard of terrible cases of animals misbehaving really badly, and that's simply because they are not properly trained. Well, welcome to Daryl Twigg from the Dog Training Academy in Durban. Good to have you in the studio on this Thursday morning.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So, Daryl, let's just talk about this thing, because dog training is in Belito, there has been a tradition of dog training and dog trainers, but it's been intermittent, and at the moment there seems to be almost nowhere to go, except for the fact that you have started to come in from Hillcrest, so it's a long drive, but you come into Belito a couple of days a week, kind of on demand in a sense. And the reason for having you on air is to spread the word, so that if you, listening to this, would like to find out more about how you can turn your that beautiful, furry critter into a real companion, well, this is going to be the chat for you. So let's start at the beginning. How important is it to have a trained dog as a companion?
It's very important. Obviously, you need to be responsible and have control of your dog. It's all about socializing the dog, putting in the time so, you know, you can enjoy your life with that dog. You can go for walks. You can spend time with the dog without having to be stressed about being around him.
Because a lot of folk find that, well, I don't really want to take my dog out into the public. I just want a pet at home, and we'll cuddle, and he'll keep me safe, and he'll behave nicely, and that's the end of the story. So we get one for Christmas or birthday or special occasion, either a rescue or, you know, if you're more particular, you find the breed you like. It comes home, it's cute and cuddly as a puppy, and then it grows up and it's a nuisance. Mm. It's digging up the garden, it's eating the shoes, and you don't like it anymore. It doesn't listen to you, it barks, the neighbors are upset. The thing becomes a nightmare, and now you've got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just put in a bit of time and it really makes a difference, you know.
But it's more than that, because unless you understand, and this is really what I'm going to get to today, training, I'm sure that you will agree and you'll explain, but dog training is more about training the handler or the owner than training the dog.
Definitely, yes.
Tell us about that.
So obviously what we do matters with dogs, right? So our behavior can affect the behavior of the dog. Often I come across people that are very like nervous people and stuff like that, and the dog will be very nervous, or the person, you know, is just not so confident, and it's the same with the dog, you know, and this can create behavioral problems and things like that. So, you know, definitely it makes a difference.
Now, you do dog training from all stages, from puppy right through to even a mature dog. There's an old adage that you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
No, I don't say that's true. You can definitely teach an old dog new tricks. And especially if the owner can change their behavior, it has a major effect on the dog.
Is there any case that's too far gone?
The vast majority we can help, but there are one or two where sometimes we're just not able to.
So now, having watched Caesar Milan and various other interesting characters on TV doing miraculous, almost dog whispering type stuff, is that all trickery or is that possible?
A lot of it is possible, yes. So it's surprising how quick you can turn a dog around with the right understanding, the right training approach.
Now, if I have a problem dog at home, and I really don't know how to go about sorting this thing out because I'm scared to take it out. It's going to probably embarrass me. It might even attack another animal or a person, heaven forbid. So I'm now stuck with this massive problem. Could I give you a ring, and then what would your approach be to that?
So definitely people can get in touch with me. The approach would depend. Once we've had a conversation, we work out what the problems are, and then we can make a training plan from there. So sometimes the dog has to come for board and train, so I can get that initial training going with the dog.
So actually, you send your dog to boarding school?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Isn't that cruel?
No, not at all. The dog, we basically put the dog through the training, and then it makes it easier for the owner to get going with the dog, and then they can really start to enjoy their dog. You know, they can take their dog out and about with them, and the dog's a lot more social after that.
Ooh, but some people would say, oh, how do we know that you don't abuse the dog, give it shock treatment, and hammer it into submission, and then it comes back, it's well-trained, but its spirit is broken.
Yeah, I mean, if we did that to a dog, you would see it. The dog would be obviously unhappy and look depressed and all these kind of things. It's definitely not the approach we take. The approach we go with is a lot of operant conditioning, classical conditioning. So we're using positive reinforcement, and we basically start to make the dog make better choices.
So is this a service that you offer? Literally, send your dog to us, we'll get it to a level, and then from there, we'll train you to get the best out of it. And from then on, it becomes a success story and a love story, if you like.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, pretty much. Most of the time, that's how it goes. A lot of people, you know, are really happy with the results afterwards.
So that's the one option, and that seems like a quick and easy option. Maybe not the most inexpensive option, but still a very good one. But if one is opposed to that and you want to do it yourself from the beginning, do you offer for training in Belize?
So at the moment I'm coming out every Thursday, and I go around to different clients. I also do a little group class here at the moment. We are looking at possibly on a Saturday doing a group class in the future, to obviously work with people that want to come along with their dog and work with their dog.
Okay, well, we'll give that information at the end of the chat, but let's just talk about the dog. People often anthropomorphize, is that the right word? In other words, they put human emotion into the dog. It becomes a person. Mandy's like that. She's got two French poodles.
Very big dog
that
lover.
Are her, you know, her family. She pushes them in a pram, for heaven's sake. I mean, ever seen anything like that before?
Yeah.
But no, they do that. And that's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, the dog's a dog.
Well, we definitely have to keep that in mind, that yes, a dog is a dog, and we have to respect that, right? It doesn't mean we don't love the dog and all that, but we have to understand that it is an animal at the end of the day, and it has genetics and it has instincts which govern behavior, and we must be respectful of that.
And emotions? Do you believe that a dog has emotions?
Yes, a dog has emotions, but they don't think like we do, so we have to be aware of that, you know, that, like I say, you know, genetics play a role in how a dog behaves. We have bred dogs over the years for different purposes, and those purposes can then affect their behavior. In other words, a hunting dog will want to go and hunt. A herding dog will want to herd. A protection dog will want to be protective. Maybe not always in the right circumstance, but it is genetics that make this happen.
Now, this is very interesting. With the different natural trait that different breeds are created for, how important is it before you get an animal to explore the options? In other words, the dogs that are trending at the moment, they're very popular. French bulldogs, for example, a more useless animal I've never seen in my life before. I've got to be very popular now. But it's a joke. What's that dog going to do? I'm really being controversial. Tell us how French bulldogs, are they a reasonable breed?
Yes, you know, it's obviously all
you
comes
You hear the
down
hesitation
to
in the voice. Can it be trained to do anything?
Yes, it can. You know, all dogs can be trained. It's just time put in and you know, the relationship you have with the dog. But yes, all dogs can be trained. But obviously, when you're getting a dog for your family or for a purpose, you need to decide what purpose that is. What do you want to be doing with that dog? Do you have the time to give that dog, you know, to go out running with that dog if it's a high-energy dog?
Like a Belgian Malinois.
Yeah, exactly. Belgian Malinois is becoming very popular at the moment.
Huge, and because they took out Osama bin Laden. The American SEALs use them. They jump out of airplanes. So I want that dog. That dog. Isn't that what people buy dogs? Is like to almost an extension of their personal statement, their fashion sense, their life.
Then I've definitely got it right.
No, but I mean, it's absolutely true. That's why these breeds become popular, because, well, you know, we've seen them on TV. But the Belgian Malinois is an extremely active animal and needs a massive amount of exercise.
Yes, exactly. And you know, some people get it right, but there's a lot of people out there who are struggling with them because of that reason. They're a dog that requires, you know, some experience, and you definitely have to put in some time in training with those dogs. They're not going to sit around the house and do nothing.
Well, sadly, they do in many cases, and they don't do nothing. They destroy the garden, they destroy the house, they become a major problem.
They get bored and they get depressed.
And then what happens to the dog? It gets dumped somewhere, SBCA or worse, you know, just side of the road. Goodbye, no more problem. Do you see that?
Well, yeah, definitely I'm seeing the Malinois as a breed becoming more popular, and definitely you're seeing them show up in like SPCA and those kind of things, which is obviously not good, you know.
Well, now here's the next question. If you pop along to a rescue shelter and you see a Malinois type dog or a shepherd type dog or a pit bull's very popular as well.
Yeah.
What should you be aware of before you decide to adopt?
Again, you got to look at your lifestyle, your personality. Are you capable of dealing with that breed? You know, because some breeds they need someone with experience and someone that is willing to step up and put in the work.
And is this a service that you at the Academy offer in terms of advice? If I want to get an animal, a companion animal for my son or daughter or family, could I give you a ring and discuss the options? And would you be open to an honest and frank discussion, because a lot of folk, I think, would benefit from that.
I get that a lot. Obviously, people calling me all the time, and I'm very truthful. You know, I say what it is and try and talk the people through making the best decision and helping them. You know, if they've already gotten that dog and now they're going, oh, I'm a little bit in over my head, you know, I can help them with that, and we make a plan and go forward.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the wonders of the Canis Africanus, which is generally considered to be an African, original African breed, but has been hybridized through all sorts of events and come down through the ages, and it's kind of a mixed breed mongrel that has different personality traits, and I think each dog is kind of different. How suitable would that be for a family pet?
I've worked with a lot of them. They can be really great dogs and really great family dogs. They can vary in kind of temperament and energy levels, so you also have to look at the individual at the end of the day.
What is the best dog for a starter family pet?
That's a difficult one to answer. What I would say is, you know, if you haven't really ever had a dog and you haven't had a lot of experience, smaller breeds definitely are easier.
Mixed breed.
A mixed breed with a lower energy.
Pavement special.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, and there's lots of them out there that need homes, you know, so definitely, yeah.
But isn't there a risk that because you don't know the genetics and you don't know the temperament of the parents, that you could end up with a nightmare?
No, I think you have to look, like I say, at the individual. You get really nice mutts, if I can put it that way, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, what do you look for when you're at the shelter and there is the little fluffy creature with the tongue and the tail and the eyes bright, and I don't want to take that home? What should you be looking for?
I think a dog that is outgoing, you know, has a nice attitude, you really got to just kind of go and have a look at the dogs if you're looking to adopt.
Is it like Harry Potter's wand? It chooses you.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I think that happens a lot, you know. Yeah.
It's a connection, I think, that you have, because you have a connection with any animal. So it's like with people. If you feel a connection with someone, you'll be friendly with them. But if not, you kind of leave it. And that's the same with an animal. You'll see when you walk around a place, there's just one or two animals that you really have a connection with, and then you'll know.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of it also comes down to a gut feeling when you're talking about, you know, adopting a dog that you don't know his history and that kind of thing. You try and look at the dog. I would say spend a bit of time with the dog, you know, taking the dog for a walk. And you got to take it from there, yeah.
When you bring your pet home for the first time, what is the process?
Well, it depends if you're talking about a puppy or an older dog. I would say if you're bringing a puppy home, a lot of people take the puppy straight into the house. The problem with this is then they toilet in the house and these kind of things. So my advice would be, when you get home with the puppy, is immediately take him out on the lawn where you want him to go and toilet and do his business. Spend a bit of time with him there, and once he's toileted, then go into the house with him. And this really helps with the house training. Yeah. If we're talking about an older dog, and it depends if you've already got another dog, then the best thing is to take them for a walk off the property. Get them a little bit used to each other before you take that dog straight into your house.
So you take both dogs?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Off the property.
Off the property, neutral go territory. For a walk. The walk is, it's an activity you're doing together. The dogs can bond on the walk, and this helps a lot. Instead of bringing the dog straight into your house and the other one is all excited and you're likely then to have a fight or something like that.
And then training. What sort of training protocol would you advise?
Again, it depends. If we're talking about a puppy, feeding from your hands, starting with that. So taking the puppy out and about and having his food with you, and not just putting in a bowl and putting it on the floor, but actually feeding him from your hands. This makes an incredible bond with the dog, right? Everything comes from you. So this is something to definitely think about, you know?
So the hand feeding initially to build up a connection, bond.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what is your approach to whether a dog should stay inside or outside? Because I know that there are folks that have very firm ideas about the subject.
Yeah, again, it comes down to the individual and his choice. It all depends. Depends on the dog, his temperament, these kind of things. But obviously the vast majority, I think, should be inside at night, definitely.
Going on that point, they were saying in the newspaper that at least 1,000 dogs are poisoned in South Africa.
Yeah.
On a monthly basis. So
1,000 dogs a month?
Yeah. So with that, seriously? With that statistic... Sure. They're urging people to please keep the dog inside. And if you keep your dogs inside, even if the dog's in the kitchen or the garage, you know that the perpetrators will come towards the house and then the dog will bark and then they know the dog's inside, which makes things very difficult for them then to break in. So then they go. When they got the dog outside, they throw the meat, they throw the poison, and end of story. Then you may
can
end
you
up.
Can you train a dog not to take food that you haven't provided for?
Yes, you can. I've done a bit of it in the past, but it's very difficult. You know. So going on that subject of keeping a dog in the house at night, it's something I definitely advise doing. I train dogs for personal protection, and I always advise the clients to have the dog sleep in the house at night with you. Obviously, the dog is not so much at risk, and he's able to wake you up and alert you and give you time to call the authorities and so on.
Okay, so let's just talk about the services that you offer quickly and then a contact information number and address, etc. You train literally from puppy school right through to advanced man work, tracking, and everything in between.
Yes, yeah.
For those that are interested in contacting you, how do they go about that?
The best way would be to contact me, would be to WhatsApp me or give me a call. That's pretty much the best way. Otherwise, also email.
And that's Daryl Twigg at the Dog Training Academy,
yes,
DTA, located in Durban, South Africa. Give us the details. Quickly, let's put it out there. If this is what you're interested in, folks, it's a great opportunity to have training in Ballito at a time and place that is convenient, no doubt, to Daryl and to you. Or if you'd like to send your beloved pooch in for a little advanced course in management, and it'll come back to you completely transformed. How do we reach you?
Okay, so contact number is 083-640-7247. That's probably the best way to get hold of me is send me a WhatsApp or give me a call direct.
Give us that number again.
It's 083-640-7247.
And we'll put this up as a podcast, folks, with that information attached. So obviously you'll be able to then hear it again, or if you've just literally caught the end of it and you want to listen to the entire conversation, download our app. It's available from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Go to the podcast, look for the morning show, and there you'll find Daryl Twigg and the Dog Training Academy, and obviously the information that we've been chatting about. Daryl's been lovely chatting to you. Look forward to seeing you out on the field when I bring my completely untrainable German Shepherd, because it's not the dog's fault, it's entirely mine. I understand that, so now we've got a new chance to turn over a new leaf.
The dog can train the person, so if you do have like the couch potato kind of person and they look for a dog, they probably should take the more quiet dog. But if they take one that likes walking and everything, the dog then will start looking at its owner like that and giving him a bit of a look. get them off the couch and they'll start walking. So there we go.
This is the problem. You know,
dog-trained human.
The people. The people are the problem. Daryl Twigg, dog trainer to the rich and famous, and you as well, of course. Anyone is welcome, and a great idea that you take the opportunity right now to build that special bond, because there is a real adage to the man or woman's best friend is your dog. And if it's a properly trained dog, what an asset. Lovely chatting. We continue with the morning show at 7:45. A little hot chocolate, I think, just the ticket.